Hey, this is Kieran, Coach's Corner Chats, and joining me is Jacob Plucker. Jacob, where are you at and what are you up to?
Yeah, I'm at Missouri Western State University, located in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're part of the MIAA, and we're a Division II program.
How long have you been?
A little over a year now, just over a year.
So when you look back on that first year, what are some of your, when you kind of reflect back, what were some of your big takeaways from that experience?
Yeah, you know, this is my third stop as a head coach. So, you know, each one's a little bit different with how you kind of approach it and what you're trying to accomplish kind of in the short term compared to the long term. You know, and so it's been fun. I kind of grew up in Missouri, so to kind of come back, you know, and I know some coaches in the area. So it was, like I said, it felt like home. And so, you know, we wanted to kind of get the program going in the right direction again. You know, there's been some turnover the last couple of years. So just trying to provide some stability and, you know, kind of a vision for what it's going to take for us to get the program where we want to be.
Now that you've got through that first year, what are your plans now as you move into year two and you transition, you start saying, I want to make this my full program and more of what I want it to be?
Yeah. You know, again, it's one of those where I think year one was kind of the feeling out phase, everyone trying to see, okay, well, who's the new coach? What is he trying to implement? How are things going to work? So kind of, again, that proof of concept was there. And I think they've bought in. You know, I think they understand that, hey, with who we have as a team, what we're capable of, you know, if we continue to work hard and work on implementing what we're trying to as a program and kind of have an identity, you know, we have the opportunity to make some strides. You know, it's an extremely tough conference. So to me, that's the fun part. You know, you got to love the grind. You got to love kind of, you know, the commitment that it takes to, you know, to make those strides as a program. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
You talk about just taking over the program. When did you actually step in and become head coach?
I believe it was January like 15th last year. So like I said, I've been here about a year and a few days.
What's it like those first couple weeks when you get on campus? Like what things do you try to accomplish in terms of like connecting with players? What was the goal for, I guess, the spring in terms of how you were trying to get the program started?
Yeah, you know, big on that relationship piece. So getting to know our student athletes, getting to kind of allow them to know who I am and just being available so that way they can get a better idea of who I am and what we're trying to do as a program and as a staff. You know, and so it's just being available, breaking things down, you know, getting to know who they are as a person and, you know, what are some of their interests even outside of soccer, just to kind of, like I said, build that rapport. I'm a big believer that, you know, if your culture is right and they understand that you're there to support them and help them even beyond just the soccer field or the games, that, you know, it's going to go a long way, you know, and I've been fortunate enough at my previous stops to be able to continue to build those relationships with past players who now are starting families or getting married or even, you know, have kids of their own that are slowly dating myself, but getting to where, you know, I might be able to start recruiting them and, you know, and look at having them join our program. So, you know, to me, that relationship piece is massive. And then some of it, again, was just kind of rewiring the brain of, okay, here's what our standard is. Here's what our expectation is. You know, what do we want this program to be? It's their program, you know, so take that ownership and, you know, that accountability piece, and we'll continue to mold it and guide it to allow us to, as I said, hopefully have the success that we want.
You mentioned earlier, kind of going full circle back to Missouri. When did soccer enter Jacob's life as a youth?
Man, I was probably three or four. My dad was a rescue swimmer in the Coast Guard growing up. So we moved around quite a bit. So I always had, you know, family, soccer, and faith. And so those are three things that are extremely important to me and kind of, you know, how we kind of mold our program. So, you know, it was nice to kind of have soccer as that icebreaker whenever we move, to be able to make friends, or, you know, the playing style out on the West Coast compared to down south in Alabama, or, you know, even in Missouri. So it's been nice to have and be able to see, you know, all that, you know, the U.S. has in regards to style and type of play.
As you were growing up, does that lead to high school experience? Do you end up playing maybe in the college level?
Yeah. So I finished, or I played in high school in Southern Missouri. You know, my dad had retired at that point. And so it was a smaller areas, about 12,000 in population. So it wasn't the biggest soccer scene. You know, thankfully, between my dad and a few others in the community, you know, they really kind of helped with the rec and some of the club soccer opportunities. You know, I walked on at a Division II Missouri Southern when they had a men's program. Kylie Cirillo was the coach there, and he took a chance on me. And, you know, again, the mindset was just come in and compete, come in and work, you know, try to get better, you know, control what I can control. And I knew even going into my junior year of high school that I really wanted to coach collegiately. You know, I can remember a time my teammate and I were sitting in English class and we were getting ready to play a top team in the state. And okay, well, what do you think coach is going to do with shutting down, you know, the leading goal scorer and what formation or what, you know, so just kind of already talking strategy and back and forth, and to be able to do it at the collegiate level where we can go out and kind of recruit and find the different pieces and bring them in. You know, that's something I truly enjoy as well, is seeing the team come together and those lifelong friendships and relationships being made from someone, you know, maybe it's California who's with someone from Iowa or even overseas, to be able to then kind of pair them together. And, you know, some of my closest friends are some of my college teammates. So, and they're obviously spread out throughout the US and even the world. So that part is always awesome to be able to watch and see that grow.
You mentioned even in high school, having that kind of feeling and gusto to become a coach. Was there a coach that impacted you that kind of pushed you in that direction, or what kind of made you think coaching is something I'd like to go into?
I mean, all the coaches that I've had, and my dad was, you know, one of my coaches in the rec and kind of coming up beforehand. Nick Schmidt was my high school coach in West Plains, you know, and obviously had a few collegiate coaches as well. And to me, I like being a part of a team. I like being a part of something that's bigger than oneself. Just the joy of being able to battle, to grind with, you know, a teammate or, you know, a collective, as opposed to kind of doing it individually. So to me, like I said, I've just loved that team aspect of it.
When you look back on the Missouri Southern experience, what is that like? I mean, to walk on and to like, you're literally having, like you talk about battle for everything that you have. What was that experience like when you look back on it?
Yeah. You know, I thought I was going to be biting off more than I could chew. I totally went in with the expectation, okay, I'm coming from a smaller town. You know, we played at a lower level high school. You know, I'll probably redshirt the first year, just be a sponge, you know, try to put in the extra work, you know, again, control what I can control. And I think having the mindset and the work rate that I did, you know, I was able to kind of close that gap, and I had opportunities. You know, I was able to make the first travel trip and, you know, even play a few games as a freshman. So that was exciting and kind of that reassurance of, okay, like this is something that I'm capable of. You know, have to be able to continue to put in the work and have that right mindset. But again, it's fun. I said the challenge, you know, that's why you do anything. You know, the competitions in certain games, you know, I love playing the best teams. You know, to be the best, you got to play the best, you know? So, you know, in the MIAA, you know, every game is a grind. And so it's fun. It's fun to be a part of this conference where, you know, four or five teams, you know, regularly can make it to regionals or the national, tournament and setting. So, you know, you can't slip, you know, every game you got to show up and you got to be able to perform.
While you're at Missouri Southern, at what point, how do you go, how's the next part of Jacob's journey begin after that?
Yeah, so I was there for 2 years and I hurt my back. So I took a year off, moved back home, started high school coaching with the same high school coach that I played for. I knew I wanted to finish up and play collegiately. So I was rehabbing and then just helping out. And so I think being able to be a part of that and start kind of the coaching experience that way, was something that really kind of then reaffirmed, like, okay, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do, you know. And I still had friends and you know, brothers of teammates that were playing high school. So you know, it was nice to hear them say, oh, you know, I don't think we would have had the success if we didn't have you helping, or I wouldn't have been able to make the improvements I did without, you know, you helping. That was kind of, like I said, that was cool. Cause again, that's why we do what we do, you know, it's to see others have success and to improve. So, you know, I did that for a season, You know, again, there were some things that then Missouri Southern had dropped the men's program. So I finished up at William Penn in Oskaloosa, Iowa, as a little NAIA school. And again, that was where it all kind of finished and started to be a GA there as well. I played for Kevin Rushing, and then Greg Jurosik was there when I was finishing up as a graduate assistant. And then after those 2 years, went to Kansas Wesleyan with Mike Dabini and Gabe Romo and those guys, and had the opportunity to get my first head coaching job in Aberdeen, South Dakota, you know, which was fun. I knew the athletic director up there, and to me, it's an opportunity. It's to start a program. You know, it was kind of my baby, the opportunity to kind of build it. And, you know, first head coaching opportunity, you're not going to be as picky, but you want to be able to make sure that it's something where you feel you can build and have success. And I was there for 4 years. We were able to build it. The last year I was there was the best record we had in history. So that was also, like I said, pretty cool to see how far it had developed. And then from there, had the opportunity to go out to Eastern Oregon University for 6 years. And that was a whole another challenge, a lot of fun. We've had a lot of success out there as well, making it to, you know, the national tournament for the 6 years and winning conference and multiple times, you know, and that was, like I said, couldn't ask for a better situation to be able to go into for the second opportunity. And then when this opportunity came up, knew a few coaches. Obviously, I said it's another challenge, another kind of step to see. And again, I love the building aspect. I love being a part of that process. So came out for the interview, got a really good feel. We have amazing facilities. We have resources to be successful. I've already mentioned the conference multiple times with how challenging that is. Kind of got me closer to where, you know, some of my high school and even college friends are. So to kind of be back in the Midwest, you know, and hey, we're going to run with it and see what we can do.
Just kind of going back to that first experience coaching with your high school coach, what's that like to go from what is coach thinking about to actually being in the conversations with them of like, oh, this is what he was thinking about when we were players. How cool was that to go kind of almost like, we've talked about full circle a little bit. What was that like for you?
Yeah, no, it is. It's one of those where, you know, everyone has their thoughts and their views of, well, why was this done? But to be on the other side, kind of looking at it through a different coach as opposed to a player. No, it's nice. And again, he allowed me to kind of, I ran the JV squad, but then also was the main assistant on the varsity squad as well. So and he really helped me and gave me kind of some of that initial confidence of, okay, I'm capable of being able to, you know, to coach, and as long as I can continue to grow and kind of bring the right mindset and approach to it. And so, you know, he knew it was kind of probably a 1 year opportunity to allow me to then go finish playing and get my degree. But yeah, I can't thank him enough for it. Was what he actually, I was thinking about it, but then he had actually reached out to me when he heard that I was going to be back in West Plains. You know, he had kind of reached out and said, hey, I'd love for you to come in and be my assistant. So very, very thankful for that opportunity. And even like this past fall, he went to 4 or 5 of our games this year, which I thought was really cool just to kind of see it all come full circle. So, you know, that was neat because growing up, again, the family piece of it, he was very much a part of, you know, the soccer family at the time. And here we are 10, 12 years later, he's, you know, still showing up to watch.
You mentioned being at school at Iowa to finish up and then get the GA spot. How does that conversation come about? We hear about people going, hey, I'm looking to get a graduate assistant. Like, do you go to the coach? Was it another one of those where the coach kind of recognized that, you know, I think Jacob might be really good at this coaching thing. Let's try to keep him on and help him, mentor him, and then help him kind of blossom and grow.
Yeah. You know, with that one was definitely unique because initially, you know, I was there for 2 or 3 years, finish up my playing, and I wanted a different kind of perspective. I wanted to try to go, you know, maybe elsewhere to be a graduate assistant. There was some family health concerns. My dad came down with cancer. And so it was just one of those where it was just kind of more convenient to be able to, all right, stay where I'm at. I'm still close to family at the time. And again, obviously I think everything happens for a reason, you know, and I was able to learn a lot from, you know, from rushing and even from Greg Jurosik when he was there. So, you know, it was one of those, it was good, and it worked out to allow me to continue to develop and put me in a spot to, I said, find that next step.
What is the experience being a GA? People hear that and they're like, oh, it's probably awesome. And then what exactly does that entail? What are some of the tasks, roles, responsibilities?
It's anything and everything, you know, at the kind of the smaller schools, you wear a lot of different hats, but like anything, we tell our girls in our teams this all the time. To me, it's all about the mindset that you approach it and the attitude that you approach it. So I loved it because, again, I knew this is what I wanted to do. So anything and everything, you know, washing laundry, you know, picking up food orders, you know, helping pick up recruits from the airport, you know, obviously running sessions, breaking down film, you know, the recruiting piece was something that I still love, just to be able to go out and watch games and watch teams and find those diamonds in the rough. Or, you know, you're sitting down next to a bunch of different schools and, you know, everyone has their different view of what they're looking for. And maybe you see something that somebody else doesn't, and you're able to have that kid come to you, and then they're able to flourish. And so that's really nice. You know, but it's a grind, you know, it's definitely, if you're not in it for the right reasons, it can definitely, you know, burn you out pretty quick. But you know, I think if you have the right approach, if you're in it to serve, you know, be kind of a servant leadership type of role, you know, you'll be able to have that success.
So you finished up the GA spot. Do you just start at that point just sending emails out and resumes?
Yeah. Like
how do you get your foot in the door after that?
Yep. No, that one, you know, because that's scary, because you're going, okay, well, I've known this for, you know, 4 or 5 years. Now what? And so, yeah, you put feelers out there, and, you know, a lot of times too, some of the jobs, hey, it's a part-time, it's a $2,000 coaching position, or, you know, I was able to land the Kansas Westland job, and that one, and that paid $10,000 for both teams as a part-time assistant. So, you know, it's one of those kind of paying your dues, you know, trying to build the resume, get that different experience, and being able to make it work in order to, you know, not necessarily have the job that you have now, but the job that you want later. So, you know, just staying true to the course, and, you know, keeping my head down and grinding and, you know, networking and just trying to, you know, be a sponge to learn and then be able to apply that in different situations.
What's the experience of dealing with a men's program and a women's program simultaneously? Like, what are some maybe similarities and what are some differences when dealing with the two different programs?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I get asked that quite a bit in regards to, well, you know, what made you choose the women's side of things? And, you know, even when I went to presentation, again, I was originally hired just to be the women's coach, but then the men's coach left late. So then they asked me, oh, do you want to help out and take on the men's coach? And I was 27 at the time. I'm sitting there going, okay, I have an opportunity to kind of double my experience in a year, you know, by coaching both programs. And to me, obviously there's different aspects, whether it's maybe the style of play, the physicality, the approach that, you know, maybe a men's side takes compared to a women's side. But, you know, ultimately I settled on the women's side just because I feel, you know, you're able to truly buy into that team component more and that team aspect. And, you know, not that, you know, you look at like men's soccer, women's soccer, and men's soccer sometimes, you know, they'll roll around and they'll exaggerate tackles and diet. Whereas, you know, a lot of the time on the women's side, hey, they might have a bloody nose, but then they're getting right back up and they're going, you know? So just that kind of approach that they take, you know, I just fell in love with that aspect of it. And, you know, being able to teach that and help that, you know, I had, which was also probably one of my coaching highs, my younger sister, I actually got to coach her last year at college. She transferred up to where I was. And so I got to coach her collegiately, which was, like I said, that was a really cool experience.
Wow. That's really, really amazing. Like, you hear people coach maybe when they're younger, like, oh, I helped out with their rec team or whatever. What was that dynamic like having, you know, coach player, but then also brother, sister? What were those kind of conversations and those moments like?
Yeah. So that was the first year at presentation. And so she was kind of called the grandma of the team because, you know, she was going in there last year and everybody else was basically freshmen. We had a couple of transfers, but You know, I think it was one of those, you know, with our bond, we're really close with having moved around and all that. And again, soccer was kind of that common connection. So I was able to help her out at high school and even a little bit at the club level. So she was kind of deciding if she wanted to, because she kind of followed me up at Penn where she was playing. And then I just kind of said, hey, you know, I've got this opportunity, you know, if you want to transfer up. And, you know, and she did. And I think she really enjoyed it because, again, she understood the situation of, look, this is going to be a first year program. We're probably going to take our lumps, which we did. But, you know, I know it was one of those where she felt it was probably one of her more successful seasons and just felt better about things just with how we were able to build things. But yeah, being able to coach her, I sit back and I say that was probably one of the coolest moments of my coaching career so far.
How does a coach end up in, I believe you said, South Dakota?
Yeah.
Next, like, when I hear South Dakota, it doesn't scream soccer to me, but how cool to be able to go there. And like you said, over the 3-4 years that you were there, you were able to build it into a solid program. What was it about that experience that kind of resonates and stands out to you that helped build that momentum?
Sure. So when I was playing at William Penn and then when I was a graduate assistant, Brian Spielbauer was the women's basketball coach at the time. He would come in when I was again a GA, just ask a lot of questions about just soccer related stuff. And I didn't think too much into it, but then he had transitioned to athletic director and he got the job in South Dakota. And so after I was at Kansas Wesleyan for a year, he had then kind of reached out, hey, you know, got this job. Would you be interested? So it was nice that, again, I knew some coaches that were up there from previous stops, and to be able to have that support with knowing, hey, there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some mistakes because it's a first year program, first time head coach. You know, one of my former college roommates and teammates, William Braswell, actually came up. He was at a Division III school in Texas working in the athletic staff department. He came up and was my assistant coach. So I said it was cool to like kind of have that again family feel of individuals that I've been around, you know, at the whether it's the GA level or even as a collegiate athlete myself. So that was again a very fun experience. And to me, you know, you learn a lot even in the seasons that aren't great. You still got to be able to kind of sift through it and okay, this worked, this didn't. Hey, you know, if you can survive this, you're going to be able to survive, you know, different things that come up. So definitely, again, a great experience. Like you mentioned, South Dakota was, if you can recruit in South Dakota, you know, you're and then be able to have some success, you know, you should be able to transfer that to different spots. And so far, like I said, we've been able to do that and we're hoping to do the same thing here.
How important have those kind of conversations beyond just soccer, like how, like you talk about a basketball coach at that time talking to you about soccer and coaching, and then he became athletic director. How important it is to not like stay in your bubble and be a part of the athletic department, I guess, in a way, and become, you know, to build relationships, not just with your players, but with other coaches and staffs that are a part of it.
I think it's massive, you know, because you never know. It's such a, the coaching community is such a small world with who knows who or who's worked with who. So a lot of times, you know, it's who you know, and being able to network. You know, I've had assistants at other places, and so I've told you, when you're going to camps or when you're going on recruiting events, make sure you're getting out there and you're talking with other coaches, just so you can kind of build that rapport with others. And so whether it's for using them as a reference on a resume or, hey, we have this job open, I think this person would be great. You know, I know a guy, you know, or I know someone who would be interested. So, you know, I think that's definitely a piece and a component that can sometimes get overlooked because a lot of times, especially kind of maybe in the day and age that we live in of, I'm just going to keep my head down and stay in my lane, gonna, you know, not focus on maybe helping others or things like that. You know, I think it's important, especially as say a head coach, being able to help your assistants, you know, grow and give them the opportunities. You know, don't get me wrong, I would love to have an assistant that, you know, has been with me and stays with me the entire time, just because again, that we have that chemistry and that rapport. But it's also, you know, if that's their goal and aspiration to be a head coach or to move on, to be able to help them be, to grow in that role and be more comfortable and confident. So that way when an opportunity presents itself, you know, they're able to then take advantage of it. And then it also looks good for us as, or for myself as a staff of, hey, I've been able to help these people get to these jobs. And so maybe it allows us to bring in, you know, some high caliber assistant opportunities.
So as you're building a program there in South Dakota, what is it that draws you away and heads out west to Oregon?
Yeah, so I had lived in Washington, Oregon at earlier stages in my life. And then my parents, when they officially retired, they moved back out to Washington State because that was one of the spots, like I said, where my dad was serving. And so it was an opportunity to be closer to family. You know, it is beautiful out there. And, you know, I gambled because I didn't necessarily have, you know, anything lined up, and had kind of turned down some other opportunities that were even at the time top 25 NAIA programs to take this job, you know, to take the one that I felt was going to be the right fit and a better opportunity for quality of life. And like I said, thankfully, I had great people around me there as well. Angie Weisenflu, athletic director, and even the other coaches were awesome. And so, yeah, that one got me about 7 hours from family. And, you know, it was just a beautiful kind of change of scenery. You know, South Dakota is a little flat, a little cold in the winter. You know, here, you know, in Oregon, it was, so you had your mountains and, you know, it wasn't as bad. So it was nice, but it was fun to, like I said, kind of take that next step.
You've mentioned family throughout this chat. What has it been like, not just for you, but for them to watch you attack and say, I want to be a coach, and they could tell that's what you wanted to do. What's it been like for them to watch you kind of build programs and make your go through all this journey of yours?
Sure. I feel, you know, I've been very blessed with my family, with my parents. You know, my dad, as he was a rescue swimmer, he may not have been around a lot, but then when he retired, all throughout high school, so I have an older brother and a younger sister. Older brother was a cross country track guy. I said younger sister, she played soccer. I don't think there was a time, whether it was high school or even a lot of college, where he wasn't at the games or the events. So, you know, very fortunate, and they've been very, very big on kind of, hey, it's not always about money, you know, do something that you're going to be passionate about, do something that you're going to love and enjoy, you know, even now, whether it's any of the stops that I've been at, you know, he's either watching online, they're even my mom, they're watching, they're in person, they're sending me critiques and notes. So, hey, what were you doing here? Why didn't you do that there? You know, at different times. And they know also, because, you know, I don't like losing. You know, like I said, winning is a lot more fun. So they know if we lost it, maybe give me some time before they reach out and ask questions or this or that. But I've gotten better over the years. I've been truly blessed to have a family that's extremely supportive and, you know, care about the success of not just myself or, you know, my brothers and sisters, but even like the team, you know, and the girls that we've had. So it's again, one of the kind of cores of our program and things that we're big on, you know, and in a day and age where it's a lot of I and me, you know, and I'm very big on it's the we and the us. You know, you have to be able to sacrifice, you know, certain things that maybe you want for the collective or for the group. And so, you know, that can be tough, like I said, because we're in a day and age of, you know, me and I want this. So, I've been blessed with a great family for sure.
When we hear about the grinding and getting after it and all that kind of stuff, what does Jacob do? Does Jacob ever turn the soccer brain coach off? And if so, I mean, what do you do to kind of get away? I know people try to talk about work-life balance, and
yeah.
I don't think I've ever met a coach that can do that. But are there moments where you talk about Oregon, like being beautiful and stuff? Do you get out in nature? Like, what things did you do or do you do to kind of just, all right, just I just need some, I need some time for Jacob.
It can be tough. You know, there's times where I'm constantly thinking about it, you know, whether it's recruiting, whether it's, okay, what can we do to get better? How are we, you know, what are we lacking? But, you know, there's moments like in Oregon, I was able to, there was a ski lift 45 minutes away from where I lived. So I could, and I wouldn't get cell service. So I could kind of go get away a little bit and not have to worry about that. Just, you know, listen to music and go snowboarding. You know, I'll go down to Mexico a for a few days here and there, just kind of to get away, vacation, and not have cell service. So it's one of those, I almost have to kind of force myself not to be able to have the service, because otherwise, hey, I'm going to be checking emails. I'm going to be following. I'm going to be looking up. And I think that's probably been the biggest complaint that I've gotten from my family throughout the years, is if we're on a family function or a trip, and get off your phone. And I definitely need to do better and be better with that. But it's one of those where, okay, like it's not about me. It's, you know, if there's something with the team, or if, you know, if a girl has a problem or this or that, I feel, you know, as my role, I need to be able to be able to try to help as much as possible. So yeah, it is definitely trying to find a balance, and it can be tough, but I mean, 24/7, you know, there'll be a time you'll wake up in the middle of the night. Oh man, that would be great. And you just write something down, or you think about something. And, you know, I think, again, that's where that passion and that joy comes from for what you do.
You mentioned with the moving as a youngster, so you played soccer in different states, and now you've coached all across the U.S. and what have you. Is there different styles of play?
Oh, definitely.
In the U.S. And can you kind of maybe characterize like a little bit of what Missouri is like versus South Dakota versus Oregon versus maybe your experiences in the South?
Sure. You know, I think, again, you can look like the West Coast is maybe a little, you know, maybe that smaller, more shifty type technical player. You know, in the Midwest, you have kind of the bigger, stronger type of players. And so, again, that's the one thing I love is, okay, can you find some of those different pieces to bring in to kind of mesh and kind of, you know, maybe a team struggles with if you have a lot of speed, or maybe this team is going to struggle if you have more size and physicality. So, you know, it's just about the balance or kind of how you want to approach it. You know, I'm big on, you know, obviously we want to try to bring in the best, you know, student athlete that we can, but, you know, we want them to be the right fit. We want to, you know, we might have an idea of the direction of whether it's formation or strategy or, you know, approach. But when we report for August, it's, oh man, we thought we're this, but we're actually that. So let's adapt and let's adjust to put our players in that position to be successful. So, no, but it's definitely, it's interesting to see the different styles based off the location.
The other thing you were mentioning was the need, not necessarily the need, but having to be able to be connected to players with social media and with the ability to have your phone and email. When you think back to like you yourself being a walk-on to now what it is as a coach, how has technology and social, how has that impacted and changed? Even as you've been coaching, you think about recruiting and some of the, yeah, how has that impacted what you do as a coach and all of it?
The landscape has definitely changed, and it's crazy to think. You know, obviously I think for the better, in the sense of if you're good enough, you can be found. You know, like you have the platforms to be able to be seen and have, you know, those opportunities. You know, it's funny, I do question a little bit sometimes of, okay, are kids doing it then for the right reasons, or are they doing it for the clicks or to get looked at? And then, okay, you know, yeah, you were scraping off snow to be able to get touches when you're in high school trying to get recruited. Now we're at the collegiate level. Are you still doing that to be able to, you know, put in extra work to get better? Or was it just, you know, in that moment to look good, to try to, you know, give yourself that opportunity? So again, that's why it's important to really kind of, you know, vet the student athlete, talking with club coaches, high school coaches. Hey, who are they as a person? Who are they as a teammate? You know, how do they handle adversity? You know, how are they off the field? You know, are they capable of cheering and encouraging others when the others are having success? You know, so, you know, it's important to be able to find that right fit. And you want it to be a win-win for obviously your program, but then that student athlete as well.
So you're out in Oregon doing your thing, and then this opportunity comes up. What draws you back to Missouri?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, the Division II level, being able to be also, we were in kind of remote Oregon. I was 2.5 hours from the majors, from Boise. You know, that was probably the biggest city. So we were a little bit more isolated. So being here, you know, we're 45 minutes from Kansas City. You know, our longest travel here is 5 hours. That was like our shortest travel in the conference that we were in. We were going 13, 14 hours on a bus ride you know, just for one game, playing another game. And we'd leave Thursday morning, get back, you know, Monday morning, and they'd have to go to class and basically do it all again. So it was tough. But the conference, the level, again, the location of knowing that we have resources, we have amazing facilities. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs use our complex for their preseason training camp and stuff. So, you know, we have a full indoor turf facility. We have, you know, two amazing grass fields. There's on our Twitter bio, there's, or X bio now, I guess. Sorry. There's a cool little video that kind of shows our facilities. We have an amazing stadium. You know, we're constantly growing and expanding our sports performance staff, our athletic training staff, our recovery staff. So, you know, again, just the ability to, you know, have some of those resources and facilities that in the previous 10 years weren't really at my disposal, you know, and to have some of that additional help, you know, made it intriguing. And don't get me wrong. It was tough. It was really tough to leave. Cause like we've talked about, like I'm big on that family piece. I'm very big on the building that rapport. So, you know, I wasn't going to leave just to be leaving. You know, I wanted it to be, okay, like this team is in need of somebody. And, you know, we have the ability to hopefully, you know, make something successful. And so said it was emotional on any spot that I left, just because of, again, how much you put into it, you know, and that's the piece that, you know, even as coaches, it can wear you down a little bit, because there's so much invested and so much involved that you do. And thankfully, you know, at Eastern, I was able to leave it in good hands. My former assistant, Josh Goodman, took over and said he hasn't missed a beat with where they're at, and he's doing a great job with them. You know, so very fortunate to be able to see that program still succeed. You know, I follow, I watch, I want them to continue to have the success. I want them to do better than, you know, what we were able to accomplish. So, you know, I think that's it. And it was time. I said 6 years, I was sitting, okay, you know, it's time to, you know, maybe look at that next opportunity. And again, it was the right time, right choice, to make that move.
When you start looking kind of big picture in the next 5-10 years, are you looking at Missouri, like what's Missouri Western State, as kind of maybe this is the place they build on? Or is there still part of you that's maybe like, hey, what if D1 was an opportunity, or maybe something else? Are you always kind of open to other opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, that question, it gets brought up a lot. It was brought up a lot when I was at Eastern, because it's like, okay, you've been here 4 or 5 years, you've had a lot of success. Are you like, looking to get out? And I told tell you the same thing I told them. Like, I'm not looking to get out again. I don't go search the job boards, you know, constantly. I honestly didn't even know some of the, you know, certain jobs are open or not. You know, so I like it here. I bought a house. I plan on being here. I want to be able to build it and to grow it. And so that way, like I said, it's one of those if, when, who knows what the future holds, at least the program is in a much better spot. But like I said, I foresee myself being here. I want to be here. You know, and I'm excited about what we can make this program, and where we can take it. So, and I think we've got some really good pieces in place with the team, and then with the staff, as well.
When you talked about, you talk really highly of your dad and what he did in terms of job wise, what about his almost like role model or what he was, how big of an impact was that for you and how you now carry yourself as a coach and man?
Sure. I think, you know, growing up, I didn't realize how awesome of a profession. I mean, he was jumping out of helicopters in the water, you know, trying to save people, you know, and I don't think that really registered until much later in life. You know, so that was really cool. And then, you know, my mom, she was a nurse, you know, an RN and doing all that stuff too. So, you know, I think looking at my family as a whole and kind of the serving others and helping others, has kind of been what's been ingrained in kind of our upbringing, you know, and to be able to continue that, you know, I had thought about maybe going the Coast Guard route, but again, I mentioned that I wanted to play college athletics and I wanted to potentially get into coaching. And that was one thing that, you know, my dad had brought up at, because he was a heck of an athlete. He was cross country runner. I think he was a linebacker, and like he was just athletic. He it was you know, and he didn't have that opportunity to play collegiately. And, you know, that was one of, I know he's brought it up, kind of one of his regrets that he wished he would have been able to. So I think it's been nice that he's been able to kind of live through his kids and being able to see them have success and play collegiate athletics. And then again, going on to have careers. But yeah, I mean, both my parents being able to be there and help and make sacrifices for us as a family to go to different camps, or, you know, granted shoes weren't as expensive then as they were now, you know, Copas were $86 then. I think they're like $186 now, but, you know, making those different sacrifices to allow us, you know, the kids to be able to do different things, said very, very fortunate and blessed to have them in our lives.
One of the things that I've heard you say a couple of times, and I wanted to know kind of where that came about, was the control, what you control. Is that something that you've just picked up? Was it in a book? Is that one of your pillars of like the way you run your program? Where did that kind of resonate or come from for you?
You know, I think just throughout growing up, and then, you know, again, I'm as a head coach and as just as a sports fan, you know, I love football, love the 49ers. So it killed me that they lost the Super Bowl, especially to the Kansas City Chiefs, who are right here. But, you know, you watch and you listen to a lot of coaches speak and how they've built programs. And as a coach, I love being able to kind of fine tune and steal different things that they, you know, maybe do, and how can we tweak it to implement it into our program. So, you know, I to me, it's just one of those, you know, you're not going to be able to control everything. So can we adapt? Can we, you know, not blame and just kind of focus on us? And so that kind of control you can control is kind of a part of that, you know. And it's at that, and then the big, you know, the ownership piece right now is, look, it's so much easier in the day and age to blame others or to make excuses for why X, Y, or Z didn't happen. But can you look in the mirror and can you own it and say, okay, I could have done this, or, you know, I need to do this if I want, you know, a different result. So, yeah, to me, it's all just about being able to find ways to find solutions or get solutions, as opposed to just creating or bringing up problems.
Last thing I want to ask about, you mentioned earlier having the back injury in college and then rehabbing and then going back and playing. What, when you look back on that, why continue to push through the pain? Why rehab? And then what did that kind of help teach you that now helps you as a coach when you're dealing with your players now that kind of go through adversity?
Sure. You know, I just loved the game. You know, it was, I wanted to be able to play as long as I could. And again, I was not the greatest player by any means, you know. You know, technically I was probably subpar, but again, it's the work rate. It's the being about the team. It's, again, just all the small little details that play a big role in things. But, you know, and to me, that is something I think this day and age is something that if we can continue to harp on and bring back, like, why are you here? What do you want out of it? Are, you know, is it worth putting in all this time and effort? You have to be able to say yes, you know, because otherwise, if you're not going to enjoy that, if you're not going to enjoy the kind of working in the dark component of it, then it's going to be tough to have that success. And there's going to be setbacks. But again, and there's another quote, I know it was a professional football player at one point, like, injuries can be career ending or career defining. You know, you have the opportunity to take that next step and kind of, one thing we're big on right now is this spring is write your chapter. Did you not like what your fall was? Different chapter now. So write your new chapter. What is it going to look like? You have the ability, you have the pen and paper, write your chapter. So, you know, and I'm sure the teams, whether it's current, whether it's past, have been probably eye roll a lot, because I do send a lot of motivational stuff. I do send a lot of quotes or things that I see that I it's inspiring, or it look like it's going to take a lot, you know. And, you know, again, to me, if you have that passion, if you have that drive and that fire, you know, to be able to, and it's not going to guarantee that you're going to have success, you know. You're going to have some of those setbacks. And, you know, we've told our team this year as well, like, this was the first losing season I think I've had as a head coach in 6 or 7 years. It's like, and I don't like that feeling. So that's driven me to work that much harder to try to help us, you know, and put us in positions to be able to get where we want to be. So, you know, it's all about the journey and enjoying it. And like I said, having fun with it.
Jacob, this chat's been awesome, and that's a perfect way to shut this thing down. This is Karen, Coach's Corner Chats with Jacob Plucker, and I'm out. Peace.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Karen, Coach's Corner Chats, and I absolutely love chatting with coaches about their coaching journey. What's even better is I love that you took the time to listen to this episode and hope you enjoyed it. What I'd like to ask is take the time to join me on social media, especially on Twitter and Instagram, at Coaches Let's Chat. That's where we can connect and continue to build this community. Be a part of this awesome, awesome experience that I know you'll enjoy. Let's go. Peace.